Okay. Seven? Okay. The last session that we had, we left kind of hanging in the middle the inyan of Biyat HaMashiach, the coming of the Mashiach. And we had already explained to a great extent that what people believe and what they're praying for in the way of Mashiach from a Zoric point of view, it seems to be completely different. Completely different. Something else entirely. So I think it's important that since also this week is Kriyat Yam Suf, and again, we are not of the opinion that Kriyat Yam Suf was a small matter that happened in history, and that it is not something that we can participate and rather just assume it's a story and another of those great miracles. But I want to give this introduction at the very beginning, that the entire action and the entire activity that took place in Kriyat Yam Suf, right there lies all the power, the only power that the Jew has to bring Biyat HaMashiach. Because there for the first time, mind over matter ruled. For the first time, because all of the 10 plagues was not against the natural course of history. You know, it says that some of the plagues, even the Egyptians, you know, could turn water into blood, but they didn't turn the water into a solid. They turned it into blood. The second plague was Sephardea, you know, the frogs. They didn't create something that didn't exist. But what happened was these frogs interfered with the normal life of people, but it was not a new creation. It was not against the natural stream of the order and principles of the universe. All of them. You would even say the creating of three nights of darkness. So you would say, wasn't that something? Even from Washington, they flew in. Would you say that was something new? Because generally, we are accustomed to there being 24 hours in the day. Part of the day is day, and part of the day is night. And see, here, there was a miracle that there were three nights of darkness. But again, the darkness itself was not a new creation. Darkness existed. It was not against the natural order of things. What Moshe did was say, son, you know, hold off for a while. But he didn't change the sun from never appearing again, or changing the characteristic of the sun. When the sun would shine, it would shine. There are times when the sun is told not to shine. So, Kriyat Yam Suf, there was an action that went against the natural laws and order of the universe. Water flows. It does not stop. It's the tendency of liquid to reach out, spread out. And suddenly here, it came to an abrupt halt. So that, for us, says the Zohar, was the first time that there was a display of mind over matter. In other words, to teach us once and for all that we are in control of Chomer. We are in control, we can be, I shouldn't say. We are in control, meaning potentially we can all control the entire physical universe and everything that is around us. And all of the secrets on how to control and master the physicality of this universe is disclosed right there in Parshat Beshalach. And that is, which has been commonly now known to be referred to as the 72 names. The 72 names. In fact, since we are doing a video on page, I believe it's Nun Aleph, Yeah. Okay. Nun Aleph. We have here a chart, page 51 in the Hebrew Zohar. We have a chart here of 72 names, how they were constructed and what the purpose of them are and when they are to be used and so on. But this is the entire secret of the 72 names. One masters this, and he can only master it when his head is in the right place. So we don't have to worry that, I mean, how does Rabbi Shimon or even Rabbi Ashlag, you know, draw these diagrams that Chas v'Shalom, it can fall into the wrong hands? The old reason, but we know there is a safety valve. And for those who are not ready because their head trip is somewhere else, they're into egos, they're into money. I'm not here to condemn either one of those. One can remain an egotist and one can remain completely absorbed in the accumulation of wealth. We are not here to judge nor to suggest that one should refrain or not refrain. What we are saying is that one must be on a totally spiritual course to be able to make use of it. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to let go of what, of where you are. So no matter what the future can bring us in terms of the 72 names, but meanwhile, you know what they say about one bird in the hand is worth two in a bush. Maybe this will bring me all the other things. But meanwhile, what I have, I want to hold on to. So, but in any event, this contains the entire secret of the power by which the Jews were taught how to control the universe. And of course, Parshat Bishalach at that moment meant Biat HaMashiach. That was Biat HaMashiach. And it is the strangest parsha that you will find in any of the parshiot of the entire Torah. Because here in Bishalach, we find the Jew with his old familiar expression, "What did you do for me today?" You know what that means. You could have done everything for him yesterday, but today you may not have done what he needed or what he wanted. And so he forgets everything of the past. And the question is, what did you do for me today? The expression of this parsha is incredible. Before the Kriyat Yam Suf, when they saw the Egyptians, it would have been better off to have remained in Egypt. I mean, suddenly, like, who's going to save them? Not Moshe. I mean, all he can do is bring 10 plagues, maybe, on Egypt, and maybe get them out of Egypt. No, but, and then after the Kriyat Yam Suf, no water. Who's going to bring them water in the desert? I mean, that's an impossible feat. Moshe could never bring them water and we're talking, incidentally, we should not belittle this generation, because Rabbi Shimon refers to this generation as the Dor Deya. The Dor Deya, meaning the generation that had total connection with knowledge. Knowledge of tomorrow and knowledge of today. All right? So, these two aspects of Mashiach in Bishalach and Mashiach in Shemot, that we had kind of abruptly stopped. And also, if I have a chance, and I hope I will, to discuss the two aspects of Mashiach, whether you know this or not, but there are two Mashiachim, or two types of Mashiach. There is Mashiach ben David, and there is Mashiach ben Yosef. Imagine, I guess they need two people to bring them, you know, one is not enough. We need two to come along and save the world. So whatever that means, we'll discuss. But let us go into some of the background, and if we have time, this is a much deeper consideration of Mashiach in Bereshit Aleph, for those of you who want to pursue it. Bereshit Aleph, it's page 202, Reshbet. Okay, now we're back to Parshat Shemot and page 34. Now you remember we said that this is kind of where we concluded our last session, and that was in Se'if Kuf, it said, Kashe Yakum HaMashiach, Kashe Yakum HaMashiach, Biyitgale Be'eretz HaGalil, and he will be revealed Be'eretz HaGalil. Why Be'eretz HaGalil? Mishum Shehu Makom HaRishon Shenechrav Be'eretz HaKodesh Al Yedei Ashur. In other words, where did the Churban begin? Where did the destruction of the kingdom of Israel begin? It began by the kingdom of Ashur in destroying the land of Israel with its people, and all of that began where? In the Galil. In the Galil. Shemishum ze yidgale sham tchila l'kol makom. And from there will be revealed first for all other places throughout the world. U'misham ye'orer milchamot al kol olam. And from there will begin the milchamot al kol olam. In other words, we almost thought that there was this, the incursion of Israel into Lebanon, and they called it Shalom HaGalil, right? And many people in the Machon, understanding and knowing already of this Pasha, figured that must be it. That must be it, but obviously it was not it, because he's saying here, and this is the sign. Why are we studying this? For those who will have the zahut to understand what's going on, rather than live with the tide of events, to be able to look at the events, understand the events, and do as the Zohar is going to prescribe for us. I mean, we're not here to learn history, neither are we here to learn Rabbi Shimon's prophecy. We are here for a purpose, and that purpose is, how is this going to assist us? And that was uppermost in Rabbi Shimon's mind. He wasn't, and whenever he did prophesize, it was again, not for the purpose of showing how great Rabbi Shimon was, but rather to permit us to have an insight on what's going on and what we can do about it. What we can do about it. All right? So here it says that from the Galil, Yoreh Milchamot al Kol Olam. Now the question is, why in the Galil? We asked that question. We also brought an indication that the Galil must be powerful. Why must it be powerful? Rabbi Shimon was located there. The Mekubalim, who still clung to Judaism after the Spanish Inquisition period, when that portion of Judaism came to an end, it was transferred back again to Israel. And where did they all assemble? In Tzfat. That means Tzfat had some power. That means Rabbi Shimon, almost 1,600 years before, was also drawn to that spot by coincidence. All the Tanaim were drawn to that spot by coincidence. So, in the wheels of a soul, we understand that there is a cosmic effect in different parts of the world. Like I say, why are all blacks located, in Africa? Okay, they were transferred, but there was a reason why they grew up there, or why the Jew in Israel, or why Europe never lives without a war, without strife. Must be a reason. There is a cosmic effect. I mean, there is no other reason that we can justify things happening where they happen. All right? I've explained that more thoroughly. Now, the question is, why here? Now, I can only tell you of a personal incident that we have a building which is on the verge of hopefully being completed, and it is now 4 years, and it can't move. Because that building, I can say truthfully and honestly, means the restoration of the study of Kabbalah once again. After 400 years, it'll come back there again. But there are forces that do not permit it. Why? Because what comes from without comes because of what's happening within. In other words, if we are, our activity is one of a positive nature, things will go in a positive way. If we are not positive, collectively, things do not happen in a positive way. So, in any event, we see, first of all, from the Zohar itself, it specifies that the Galil is the place. Then you might ask, well, what about Yerushalayim? What about Yerushalayim? Is this more holy than Yerushalayim? Because it seems to indicate that the Mashiach comes here. Why doesn't he come from Yerushalayim? Which would be a natural place. Yerushalayim is the energy center of the world. And in fact, where was the Zohar revealed? Not in Yerushalayim. In Tzfat, the Galil. Where was the Ari born? In Yerushalayim. Where did he reveal to Rabbi Chaim Vital the teachings of the Zohar? In the Galil. It seems that there had to be a move to the Galil. Now the Zohar says, because that's where the Churban began. But we also know from the Zohar that we never stop not asking the next question. Right, the Churban began there, but why did it begin over there? Why did it begin over there? And not somewhere else? That would be our question. And I thought about it, and I think this is what is the explanation for this answer, and that is, while this might offend some of our friends who come from Damascus, but nevertheless, Rabbi Chaim Vital revealed the Kitvei Ari where? In Tzfat? No. In Damascus. You know, while the Syrians don't know about it, maybe Jack here will one day, you know, take it upon himself to get that message across. It was not revealed in the Galil. It was revealed where? In Damascus. Why in Damascus? So there's a story revolving that he had to run away. But again, you think Rabbi Chaim Vital had to run away from somebody or from a king? He couldn't control the situation. Here he's teaching us how to control the master of the whole universe. But one sultan there who was in control, and the legend is that he had asked Rabbi Chaim Vital to save his daughter who was critically ill, and Rabbi Chaim Vital didn't want to, which even doesn't even sound right, and he ran away to Damascus, right? That's why it happened. No, there was a reason. So the only thing I can see is that it says Yerushalayim will be mitpashet until Damascus. In other words, what is Yerushalayim? What is Yerushalayim? Is it just that little city there? No, it's going to extend all the ways to Damascus. Strange. Why to Damascus? In other words, that's the point where the cosmic effect of energy, the high point, exists in that area. What is the Hara Maria? What is where the Kodesh Kadashim was? What is that about? As opposed to the rest of Yerushalayim. That point that Shlomo HaMelech established with the Aron, right, with the Ark, a powerful thing. Raiders of the Lost Ark, they knew what they were trying to find. That's the power. The Ark still exists. That was the power. There is what we call, you have a power station, right? You have a power station. But where does it go out from? I mean, does it go out from every side, every window in the power station? It's got to go out from somewhere. There's got to be a connection. I mean, you don't connect with thousands of miles. There's one place. That place for connection, where it goes out, the most powerful output of that energy, is called Hara Moriah. But the input, where the motors exist, where the energy is brought to fruition, meaning within the storage house, within the powerhouse, that's the Damascus, that's the Galil. This is all I can think of. In other words, that's why Yerushalayim was not the place where they all assembled. Why? Because at the time of the Churban Bet HaMikdash, there was no powerhouse. What was the good of settling, you know, where the energy would come from when the cosmic event and the cosmic location where that generator, where the power station is located, is in the Galil, not in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is where the pipeline comes out from. But it is not the place where the cosmos congregate to drum up energy. I hope it's clear. I think it's simple enough.
So you're saying it goes from the Galil and goes to Jerusalem, and then it's returning.
And then it has a circuit. That's right. That's right. It's revealed there.
That's like Malchut there.
And that's why the Mekubalim never looked for Yerushalayim as the place of holiness. I'm not saying it's not holy, Chas v'Shalom.
More of an effect of the light going from one.
But they understood that Yerushalayim was the effect and the cause was in the Galil.
What about the Messiah? I mean, this is out of Israel.
It's not.
No?
That's what the Gemara reveals. That Yerushalayim extends. So now I can understand why Rabbi Chaim Vital went to Damascus. Went to Damascus. And if we go into the lettering, which I don't want to do right now, Damascus, what that means, the Zohar discusses Damascus. Because it's already revealed, not by the Syrian Jews in Syria, what was so holy about Syria, but Damascus Eliezer. The word Damascus already appears in the Torah. It's not something that Rabbi Chaim Vital made famous. It was already revealed. The word already was revealed. Just like the word Sfarad was revealed long before there was a kingdom of Sfarad. In Ovadia, he mentions the word Sfarad. And if the Zohar explains what Sfarad means, it's enough for us to understand that Sfarad doesn't mean Spain.
Was anybody calling Spain Sfarad in the time of Ovadia, or is he was the first one?
No, he was the first one.
It's the code.
That's so Galil is more holy than Jerusalem? Is that what you're telling us?
That's where the machines to create energy are located. Now, you know, you have a big power plant. Is the whole power plant the place where the energy is created? You need a place where you put the coal, let's say. You need a place where the workers can hang up their coats. I mean, it's a big generating plant, but not every part of that generating. They have a restaurant maybe in the generating plant too, right?
In the Bible, you always talk about Jerusalem as the holy place. They don't mention much about the Galil as being the holy place.
Only Rabbi Shimon reveals that, right? Right, but also we should remember that it's not only Yerushalayim, because all of a sudden comes a place that was really outside of Yerushalayim, called a place like Mount Sinai, which was not in Eretz Yisrael, but it was even in Egypt, right? And there what happened? The revelation of Torah. The whole revelation. Not only the revelation of the Torah, but also of the Zohar, Baal Peh, orally. It was only in Pekin and in the Galil that for the first time the written word was revealed of the Kabbalah.
The Messiah is Israel.
What's that?
The
yes, absolutely.
Israel. The real Israel is from Nahar Prat, the Nahar Hedesh.
That's right. But where that is exactly, we don't know. But we know that Damascus is Yerushalayim.
Does that include Aleppo?
I mean, Yerushalayim.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to ask that question before.
Huh?
I was waiting for you to ask that question before. Non-committed.
The Rav said Damascus is in Yerushalayim.
Yes, Damascus is Yerushalayim.
Is Yerushalayim.
Yes, that's what the Gemara says. The Zohar says it too.
Could the Rav explain that?
What?
Damascus is Yerushalayim. Meaning,
in other words, we're explaining it now. The power station. The power station envelops many aspects. I mean, you know, there is the generating plant, and then there is all of the incidentals, the peripheral areas.
Also the space in between Jerusalem.
Yes, of course. Of course. It's Mitpashet until Damascus. Mitpashet until Damascus.
Rabbi, did they
you mean Jerusalem is the city, Damascus is included to Jerusalem?
That's what the Talmud says. Yes.
It's like you have Manhattan and you have the five boroughs, you know.
Right. That would be a fine example.
Greater New York and the tri-state area.
Right. You know, things of that nature.
Do they hear us? I mean, can you check on them?
We're checking with you. You hear us clear?
Yes.
Okay.
They're too quiet.
All right. Now, we can understand, with that we can understand, from there began the Churban. From there will come Mashiach. From there, not from Yerushalayim, but from there will begin, from the way we understand now what the Galil is about, that is the location of where everything is going to happen. Not the effect of what's going to happen, but where the action is going to take place. And it's already taken place, and it's still taking place. Because when Rabbi Shimon sat there, and when the Sfardim came back from Sfarad to Tzfat, they were continuing what Rabbi Shimon left off with. So they have been and have begun this generating of power and energy. So when it says that Mashiach will be revealed there, why there? Because what is Mashiach? What is Mashiach? Mashiach, as we will learn, hopefully in the near future, and these two aspects of Bet Mashiachim, I will tell you immediately, we are referring to the Magen David. We are referring to the Magen David. In other words, we don't need two Mashiachim, Moshe and Yosef, to act as two Mashiachim. What's that? And David. And David. And he brings in Moshe too. What we are talking about is different phases of energy, which already is encompassed within the Magen David, which I will not go into at this point. But that's what this Mashiach aspect is about. When it says that the Mashiach will be revealed, it means when the station has again been restored. The energy station has again been restored. It's now back in operation. You know, like the 3 Mile Island went kaput for a couple of years? Here it went kaput for a couple of years. And it's being restored. And it's been restored. And there will be a point. What that point is, it doesn't say. But what will trigger that day? That day will be when the station is completely restored and ready for go. And ready for go.
Amen.
Amen. But at that point, Misham Yorer Milchamot al Kol Olam. Why? Amen. But let us not forget what Rabbi Shimon. That's what Michelle just said.
And I agree.
I agree. And Rabbi Shimon even agrees. But Rabbi Shimon, if you recall, we began off that he also agrees with Michelle, but he also says what? He cried because he said, Oy to those who will be there to witness it, and Ashrei, and praiseworthy, right? How could it be both at the same time? And the answer is, so Rabbi Shimon said right in the beginning, those who will be Yisker, Lo'orahu shel Simchat HaMelech, Lo'orahu. Doesn't say to the Mashiach is coming. You take other religions. That man, when he appears, or he was the Mashiach, or whatever they say, everything revolves around the man. And unfortunately, that same corruption exists in Judaism. We all, most of us, still pray for that man to come on a white donkey into that Shar HaRachamim. We're waiting for the man. Rabbi Shimon doesn't even talk about a man. He talks about she is scared Lo'orahu shel Simchat HaMelech. He's not talking about a man. In fact, David, he's talking about David. Talking about David, he's talking about Moshe. He's talking about what they represent insofar as the Spirot are concerned. The energy sources, that's what he's talking about. Therefore, at that point when the generating system is all go, there'll be such an infusion in the cosmos of energy that I've said this a long time ago because Rabbi Shimon says it in a similar vein, that those who are not prepared, there's going to be such a heavy cosmic energy effect everywhere around us. It's like you will be putting your finger into the socket all day and all night, 24 hours a day. And if you're not prepared to handle energy, how many of us are prepared to put our finger in the socket and stay with it 24 hours a day?
Imagine what the hair is going to look like.
Bad, bad. All right? Okay. All right? And that's why it says, Yorer milchamot al kol ha'olam. Because people go berserk. You know, everyone's being charged up, can't handle it. It like wild animals.
Overload.
That's right. They'll be overloaded if they can't handle it. But if you can handle it, and there's only one way to handle it. That's what the limud of Biyat HaMashiach is about. Maybe some of you have expected me to reveal tonight the day he's coming. Right?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, what is that day? And the answer is, I'm here to disappoint you. That even Rabbi Shimon couldn't give the day.
Tuesday.
He only gave the days. He only gave the days on when... in completing the job. But it was with the participation of other people. It was not himself. No one can do the job for anybody else. Everyone is a participator in this cosmic event. Everyone, not the one who is coming on the donkey. In fact, he is not even the participator. He is only the symbol that the time is here already. You either do it or you don't do it. That's your problem. You'll either suffer, as he's going to tell us. Now he's giving us certain indications. V'achar 40 yom. Shamud yakum me'eretz lashamayim. Remember, he said on that day, suddenly everyone will see an amud, a pillar, a pillar. After 40 days, le'enei kol ho'olam. Everyone will see this pillar in the sky. Everybody. In other words, we have to assume, since we are everyone and every. What's that?
Go right through the earth.
It must be something of that nature. I mean, how, if we see the Amud as someone on the other side of the globe, how will they see? But they can see it because it's going to extend way beyond planets and so on. And so everyone can see the moon, right? Everyone can see the moon, no matter where he is. Maybe you need nighttime, but this here will be seen day and night. V'hamashiach yidgaleh. V'hamashiach yidgaleh. Yakum mitzad mizrach kochav echad hamalahed b'kol hatzvayim. And a kochav will come out of mizrach from the east side. V'zayin kochavim acherim misavivim l'kochav ahu v'yasu imo milchama b'kol hatzdadim gimel pamim b'yom at shivim yom v'kol b'nei ha'olam ro'im. You're talking about Star Wars? You're talking about making Star Wars? He's telling you. There's going to be Star Wars. Could it be clearer than that? I mean, those who know Hebrew know that I'm not, interpreting or reading into it more than what it says. This is very simple. There's no peirush even of Rabbi Ashlag here. He's literally translating. There will be this Star Wars. Echad against seven acherim.
Three times a day.
Why three times a day? You should know. You know why three times a day? That's right. Because there will be a battle. Who is going to rule over every one of the three aspects of the atom? The atom is a universe, right? The atom has a proton, the atom has a neutron, and the atom has an electron.
Is there a right, left, and central for the impure forces too? Like
no.
That? It's not like that?
No. 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 That is the one aspect of the they have two forces.
Right.
They have the right that they have captured by energies like in a bulb, the black part of the energy says energy has gone elsewhere, not into the circuitry. You take an x-ray of someone where it displays a black spot on his lungs, again displaying this man has a short circuitness. Right? The energy went somewhere else. We call it the klipot. So they have that form of energy, and of course they have the negative form of energy, but they do not have a central column energy. They do not. So therefore it's three times a day, and this will be going on until 70 days. Why is it 70 days? But just that you can go home and think about it, 70 immediately should mean what to you?
Seven.
What's that? Seven sfirot. This world is governed by seven sfirot, and each one has a complete unit, like the telephone, of 10 digits. That's how simple it is. That's why it will go, again, what does he mean 70 days? Why 70 days? Because each day will be dealing with a particular energy force that these seven kochavim want to rule, and this one star, which he will explain, coming out of the east, and this will be the war. Now, when he says a kochav, a star will come out from the east, he says, you got to watch Rabbi Shimon's each and every single word, because it's so revealing. It's hamelahed bekol hatzvayim. It's not a star like we observe a star, usually white. Are there blue stars? Green stars? Maybe in the physical Star Wars, the United States might paint them all different colors. But no one has observed different colors of stars, you know, up in the heavens. This one star will have all of the tzavayim, all of the colors. Now, without delving into the aspect of colors, but we know that each color represents a particular energy intelligence. It is not an inanimate or just simply a color of blue or red, but there is a force. The 99% of that color has a dynamics to it. And the reason the color is the color is because there is an internal energy intelligence that has created that color. But not that colors are colors.
Different.
Inanimate. There's a dynamic interplay going on. So this star will encompass all of the tzvayim, meaning all of the energy intelligences. All, he says. All right? Ve'oto kochav yase imahem milchama belapidei esh haloatim uminazitzim lekol sad. ומכה בהם עד שבולע אותם בכל ערב וערב. בולע. And then we will see a new phenomena, that this one star, and we see the sparks, I mean, you'll see real activity, physically real activity, and of course this real physical activity, like you see today for those who have telescopes. I mean, you can see a television screen up there, you know, with all of the action, with the sun and sunspots and eruptions and so on. I mean, it's incredible. We will see that right here in our own home. All right? And he says, until it swallows it up each and every evening. Ubiyom chozer umotzi otam. And what is he going to do in the daytime, this Eastern star, it's going to release them. Comes the evening again. In other words, this is going to be a process that is going to go on, right? He's going to swallow them in the evening, and in the morning, he's chozer u'motzi otam, v'heim osim milchama le'enei kol ha'olam. And they will continue to battle. I mean, they remind me of Jews, right? I mean, he swallowed them up once, right? He released them in the morning. What are you coming back for more?
Challenge him again.
It's like what you told us about Thoreau, when he had another chance to change his mind about his activities, and God gave him the strength to bring him back.
To have free will, to his point. That's right.
So he could destroy him thoroughly.
That's right. In other words, with that explanation of what happened to Paro, because, I mean, no normal person, after going through all of these plagues, would then decide, by Chazek Hashem et Lev Paro, I mean, like, he refused. He refused to send them out. I mean, it was ridiculous. No matter how hardened Hashem would make his heart. I mean, but he knew that the end was inevitable. Why would he be stubborn? It is only because he was restored to a situation of free will. If there are any questions, we'll leave him for... So, we'll take a couple of questions all at once. All right? And therefore, these stars will forget... Bad memory, like, you know, the Jews' memory, Zachor Tizkor, you know, Al Tishkach. We went through this many a time in Parashat Zachor. In fact, it happens to be in this week's Parashah, Bishalach, right? Hashem tells the Jews, remember, remember, do not forget. I mean, how many times do you have to say remember? And of course, if you say remember, he won't forget. But a Jew has a short memory, you see, very short memory. And we know because that entails the aspect of the Ratzon, the Kabel, the desire to receive, which is, of course, so intensified within the Jew. All right? Behemosim l'chamal le'ini kol ha'olam v'chein b'kol yom v'yom ad shivim yom. Till 70 days. L'acha shivim yom, and after 70 days, yitganes kochav ahu, this star will suddenly become concealed, v'yitganes Mashiach ad yud bet chodesh, v'yachzor amod ha'esh k'mikodem l'chein. And then there has to be a 12-month respite, and then it'll start over again with an amud esh also appearing.
What does respite mean?
Well, obviously, it says here, you know, a recess. Anyway, maybe some form of an armistice for 12 months or whatever. I don't know how we're going to explain Yud Bet Chodesh, but that's our next question. You know, I mean, maybe they can sign an armistice for 10 months, 6 months. I mean, why 12 months? But this again has to deal. The minute you see Yud Bet Chodesh, you know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That's right. You're talking about taking control. You see, right now, we still are under the impression that we run our life. But if you take a little closer look, and I'm not saying you have to take a deep closer look or a hard look, but if you look just a little bit at your own life, you can see so clearly that you have been absolutely and totally out of control of your own life. Maybe there have been moments of light. But by and large, no. What is necessary, obviously, is a battle against the impelling forces of the cosmos. The Mashiach, I mean, the conditions that provide free will, and that's why there are cosmos. Because if there were no influences, bad influences of cosmos, if there was no Akrav, a scorpion, and there was no Leo, and there was no... I mean, everyone would all be the same, and so there would be such a harmonious relationship going on, we might say, between all peoples. So there was a specific reason for 12 months, so that there should be 12 different forms, basic forms of influence, and therefore people will be different than other people. And that now provided us with the opportunity to create a unity. This is what he's talking about here. This battle. V'yitganez Mashiach ad Yud Beis Chodesh. And then he's going to appear. Now what happens after these Yud Beit Chodeshim? La'acha Yud Beit Chodeshim yalu et ha-Mashiach b'toch amud ahu. He's going to fly up. So you might think, like an extraterrestrial individual.
E.T.
Right? E.T. flying on a bike or whatever. But he'll be flying up in this cloud. Now, immediately, we should understand that if we have dispelled any idea that we are talking about the man, we're talking about what? As we explained Mashiach, the final the final act that has brought complete harmony in intelligences, because it is only when we can all recognize unity amongst ourselves that Mashiach is coming. So that man is not bringing Mashiach. We are going to bring him. And how are we going to bring him? By creating a unified world. How do you create a unified world? Depending where our heads are. If our heads are in a unified space and not fragmented, not from today is one way and I think tomorrow another way, and we change from hour to hour or even from minute to minute. No, there will be complete unity, which means, unity means circuitry, which means peacefulness, restfulness. This is Mashiach. So this kind of energy will actually be seen, as it says on Mount Sinai. Ra'u et ha-kolot. They saw voices. How could you see voices? How could you see voices, right? The same way is how can you see anything but inanimate in a table? What is a table? Domim. No action. But the scientist says, you're blind. Beneath that facade of wood, there's a dynamic interplay going on. 24 hours a day, 365 days in the year, constantly. What's going on? Energy intelligences. This is what even the scientist understands today. Like one famous scientist said, the whole world, he thinks, is just really one thought. There is nothing but thought. And the truth of the matter is, even in our own actions, is there anything but thought that compels the action? So when he's speaking about Ya'alu et ha-Mashiach b'toch amud ahu, everyone will see it. Will see what? The man flying like an E.T.? No, of course not. They will see what the Jews saw on Mount Sinai. See the voices. See the voices. But we don't understand something like that. But they will recognize, like today, we recognize unseen forces. So we have to go a little deeper and recognize forces. Now, I don't want to say, of course, then, you know, I could then be judged as really corroborating the aspect that when you learn Kabbalah, you go crazy. But you speak to the guys inside. They speak to Hashem. Right? They speak to forces all around them. And that's why they're in mental institutions, because people outside don't talk like that. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't seem to agree. And therefore I don't agree, and I've always said this in the past, from my own personal observation with those people on the inside, that I think most of those people should be on the outside, and most of the people on the outside should be on the inside. That's my personal opinion. But society still does not recognize certain facts of life. Like Rabbi Shimon says, there are forces around us. And that if we saw these forces with our own eyes, forces that are not revealed by a table, but forces bind within themselves, forces that make people frightened. They're afraid somebody's in the room. And there's nobody in the room. But you don't get locked up for that. For that, you don't get locked up because you still can, you know, acclimate yourself with society. So you're not disrupting society, per se. So, you know, whatever you think, is you can think, as long as it doesn't interfere. But Rabbi Shimon said that if we saw all those forces around us, we die of fright immediately. Because they would be so overwhelming. And therefore, we have a zachut that we do not see. That's the words of Rabbi Shimon. But when the Mashiach comes, another problem. We're going to be able to see.
People are going to freak.
You know, so I'm not sure. Do we really want Mashiach to come? I don't mean only that rabbi who said, when one of my friends asked the rabbi, Rabbi, what happens when Mashiach comes? He says, I'll be out of a job. Right? You know. We're taking it deeper than that. We're taking it deeper than that. But in any event, what he means, Ya'alu et ha-Mashiach b'toch amud ahu, el ha-rakia, where everyone will see. V'sham yekabel tokef v'ateret ha-malchut. And there he's going to get the tokef and the crown of malchut. U'kashiyored la'aretz. I will soon explain what does it mean here. U'kashiyored la'aretz yitra'e shuv oto amud ha'esh kimekodem lachen le'enei kol o'alam. V'achakach yitgale ha-mashiach. I thought he was already revealed. Didn't he say he would be revealed, right? Yalu HaMashiach betoch amud ahu. In other words, he would be concealed. Does he mean then when he comes down, v'achakach yitgala HaMashiach v'yikapsu elav amim rabim v'yase melchamot bekol olam. U'bizman ahu yitorer HaKadosh Baruch Hu begevurato l'chol amei olam. ומלך המשיח יהיה נודע בכל העולם וכל מלכי העולם יתעוררו להתחבר יחד לעשות עמו מלחמה. You would think the opposite.
That was after the 12 months?
After the 12 months. And after he went up on this Amud HaEsh. And then he comes down, right? And then they still see this Amud HaEsh. No, not that they didn't learn. Now is the time to start war. I mean,
he's going to start the war.
What's that? No. V'yikapsu elav amim rabim. And all nations of the world are going to gather against him. V'yaseh milchamot b'kol olam. But the Zohar is not satisfied that they will go with him. But they are going to do milchamot not only where he is, but all over the world. V'yaseh milchamot b'kol olam.
Not v'yasu. V'yaseh is singular.
Right.
That's why I said he will
good.
Make war.
Good. Why shouldn't it say V'yasu? You could say maybe it's a it's a typographical error.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. V'yaseh. But I just want to read the entire Se'if. U'bizman ahu yitorer HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'gvurato l'chol amei ha'olam. Another question. If that's when the Hashem is going to be, the force, the Lord, is going to be revealed himself, ומלך המשיח יהיה נודע בכל העולם. What's the end of it? I mean, like, are we that stupid? Are we going to be that stupid? ובכל מלכי העולם יתעוררו להתחבר יחד, get all together, לעשות עמו מלחמה. Why? Why? What can happen? Every religion says that when Mashiach comes, man, that's it. Prosperity, happiness, peace, tranquility, everything. Now, Rabbi Shimon, this what a disillusionment, right? I mean, maybe that's why we shouldn't read him. I mean, just destroying every concept that we have about Mashiach. I mean, it's a whole illusion. Wow.
All malchut together will come together.
What?
It says all malchut will come together.
Yeah, you know, all right. I must read you the next part, because to me, I found that even more exciting. So you think this is bad enough? No, there's Rabbi Shimon goes on. Right? Come here.
We'll stay here.
Huh? That's it.
Come on, we'll all stay in here.
V'kamei mafritzei Yisrael. I knew that you had to get into the act sooner or later, right? Because like this, he's talking about everybody in the world. I figured he was talking about the Jew, right? He would be the same like everybody else. No, said Rabbi Shimon. V'kamim afritzei Yisrael yitapchu lachzor el ha'goyim v'yavo imahem lasot milchama al melech ha-mashiach. There's going to be mafritzei. In other words, those, the you know, you ever hear that expression, pritzut, you know. To break out, you know. Those who rebel, the mordim. Right. Right. You know, those. They are going, yitapchu, they are going to change and go to the goyim. And they are going to make, together with them, a war on the Melech HaMashiach. I mean, how ridiculous is this story getting, right? I mean, it's almost hard to believe. Maybe it's not even true.
Good movie.
What? It would make a good movie. Oh, what a movie. Right. Okay. Az yechshach kol olam chamisha asayom. When that happens, and like he's almost forecasting it, this is a prediction, one of his prophecies, right? Az yechshach kol olam chamisha asayom And it'll get dark for 15 days. 15 days. Verabim me'am Yisrael yamutu b'choshech hazeh. V'al zeh katuv, hinei in Yeshayahu, hinei achoshech yichaseh aretz.
That's the atomic bomb he's talking about.
What's that?
The atomic bomb he's talking about.
We could say he's talking about that, but what's more important is what's happening here. This is what's going to happen. But why would they, you know... First of all, we're so conditioned
that if he comes,
that we're waiting for him.
Then we don't want him.
And now all of a sudden, not only they don't want him, but they're going to go against him to fight him.
A lot of us are not Jews.
There's a lot of contradictions.
A lot of Jews are not Jews.
Well, that's a Gemara that the only one, when Mashiach comes, that can determine who is a Jew, is Eliyahu HaNavi. That's a Gemara, unfortunately.
Wait a minute.
Well, fortunately.
So it's contradicting everything we believed, Rabbi Berg.
What's that?
It's contradicting everything.
That's right. That's what we should be waiting for.
Something doesn't make sense.
Only one thing.
Wait. Let's listen to the
hell. One
right.
Story.
Come on.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Shev Shmona. Shev Shmona. All right. I'm going to give. What's that?
Who are they going to fight against?
Against the Mashiach. Against the Mashiach. It says very clear. Lasot milchama al melech haMashiach. I mean, there is no two ways. Who they are going to be battling?
Not Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach.
Melech HaMashiach. That's right.
I want to hear all of them.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. And this even gets a little more confusing, but in a way it's a little heartening. In the middle, like, it really has nothing to do with what has been already said, and what is going to be said just following these few words. But this is what it says, and I want to read it because that will provide us with the clue. Patach v'yama is like coming out of left field, really. I mean, it's just the script. You know, when you write a script, it's got to be written with continuity. That's why I have editors. They go over the book 100 times. Sometimes I don't even think I wrote it anymore. You know, but they say, you know, there's got to be continuity, right? You got to write the script that's going to sell. I mean, you just can't write things in it. But anyway, here all of a sudden it says like this: Ki yikra kan sipo lefanecha. It's a pasuk, right? Ki yikra kan sipo lefanecha, right? Okay, it's in Devarim. Mikra ze bi'anu oto. We have already explained. Vu echad mi mitzvot haTorah hagnuzim. Va'anu yesh lanu bosodot haTorah gnuzim, and we have the sodot haTorah which are hidden, shvilim vorchim hayuduim lachaverim, to the friends, be'elu lamed beit shvilim shel haTorah, in all of the different paths, in the 32 paths of Torah, lamed beit shvilim. You know, there's 32 paths of Torah, which means also there are 32 times that Elohim is mentioned. What it means, in brief, from the aspect of the Torah, Elohim represents din. It represents the negative forces that rule this universe. But are they negative, meaning bad? No. Is the negative pole in a bulb bad? But if you don't control it, it can be bad. But is it by and within itself bad? Without a negative pole, you can't have electricity, you can't have a light. You need a negative pole. In fact, we know that the whole tachlit, the whole purpose of the creation of this world, was that we can have the greatest desire to receive. That's why we are Jews. We have the greatest desire to receive. But if there is no Akedat Yitzchak, if there is no Akedat Yitzchak, if there is no binding of that energy, like in the bulb, if it's not tempered, if the filament doesn't control to an extent, it doesn't destroy the left column, doesn't destroy the left pole, but it controls. It instructs that left column how to operate, not to go wild as a negative energy, but it doesn't mean bad. And there are 32 of these different paths that are necessary to control. And he says, we know it. And now he goes back to the story. Like, he threw it in, and there is no continuity, supposedly. But there is. Now we'll go into one more si'if, and then we'll have 2 or 3 minutes for questions. Omar Rabbi Shimon l'Rabbi Elazar beno. Rabbi Shimon said to his son Elazar, Elazar, bizman shi'yitorer melech ha-mashiach, kama otot v'nisim acherim yitoru bo'olam. At the same time that we're discussing this awful tragedy, know that at the same time there will be wonders and miracles, others, that will also be coming up in this world. At that time, Borei, b'gan Eden ha-tachton, yesh makom echad ganuz v'nelam, shelo noda, there's a place. There is a place, b'gan Eden ha-tachton, in paradise, wherever that is, and nobody knows where it is. V'hu merukam b'kame gavnim, and he is weaved in many different colors. Ubo gnuzim elef hechalot nechmadim, and there is hidden 1,000 halls, sweet, savvy halls. Ve'ein mi sheyikanes behem milvad ha-mashiach, shu omed tamid b'gan Eden. And that is the place, where no one but the Melech HaMashiach can go in. Only the Mashiach can enter, because that's the place where everything of any significance, of force, of that can provide all of the good things that we think we want in this world, is hidden. And the only one who can go in there is Mashiach. Shu omed tamid b'gan Eden. And we'll have a break. We'll have a break. Avi, you want to call back? We're having a break for about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
Right.
That's what they're called.